This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings Cast. It's Daily, joined by my co-pilots, Liz and Naima. How are you?
What's up, y'all?
Yeah, what's up?
All right. So again, light Sacramento Kings news cycle. But the big news is, for now, Sasha Vezenkov wants out. It's been reported by, at first, questionable sources, but it seems to be picking up steam that Sasha Vezenkov either wants to go back to Europe or wants to be traded.
It was interesting because it came from like that one source. And I mean, last year there was like that similar situation where someone had reported that Sabonis had like thumb surgery, and that wasn't true at all. So it was kind of hard to like believe at first. And then obviously it started getting, you know, picking up steam kind of once like guys like James Hamm started talking about it. You know, obviously he has a lot more inside information. But I mean, if that's the case, it's unfortunate. You know, I had high hopes for Sasha. I think injury, and then, you know, just adjusting to the NBA, you know, obviously the EuroLeague is different. I feel like you had guys already kind of in his spot that, you know, have already kind of proven their spots in the rotation, like Trey Lyles, you know, obviously HB. So it's kind of hard to get him some consistent minutes. But I did see some growth from him over the season, which was nice to see. But yeah, if he just wants to go in a different direction, if he, you know, thinks that he should be playing more, if that's whether that is with another NBA team or if he wants to go back to, you know, the EuroLeague, I'm okay with it. The only thing is, though, is he really doesn't have a say, is because this contract with Sacramento, the Kings, it's all in the Kings' hand. So they're the ones that are going to have to be facilitating all of this. So hopefully, if that's the case, you know, they kind of do right by him, and, you know, he does right by us, and it's just kind of like a clean break. But I'm sure there's no hard feelings. I just think he kind of realizes that he's not going to be, you know, much in the rotation unless there's injuries. So, you know, it is what it is. It's part of the business. But yeah, if he's no longer a Sacramento King next season, I wish him the best of luck. And, you know, hopefully he finds a place that, you know, he's able to, you know, obviously contribute a lot more.
But before we move forward, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I think with Sasha, maybe he expected to play more minutes, and especially as someone who's like been an MVP multiple times and a champion multiple times overseas, like he thought that he deserved to play more. And like you said, mentioned Liz, I actually forgot he was injured a lot of the time as well. So that definitely had an effect in how, you know, his playing time and everything, and just the rotations, like Mike Brown trying different rotations and all that. It's just like, it was hard for him to fit in. And I liked him as a player, like, especially because people expected him not to like be good on defense or anything. But he actually had active hands, and what I saw on defense was like good. And I'm not really that surprised. Hopefully he gets to go where he wants. And if that means like going to another team or going back overseas, then I'll be happy for him. It's a shame that, if he does end up leaving the Kings, it wasn't enough. Like, he didn't play enough. And because I did enjoy him as a player. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like you said, Liz, also, like, who knows if this is, like, 100% and the truth. And, like, we just have to wait and see what actually happens. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of questionable sources, I'm going to read a DM from a member of the Bulgarian community in Northern California. This person has always given me little tidbits of information, probably weeks before anything would ever come out about Sasha Fezenkov. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But this person DM'd me and said, so a couple of weeks back, a friend of mine saw Sasha and some Kings execs at a restaurant and said the convo looked heated. It was in late April. They said they were there for a while and that it was very serious and intense at the beginning of the conversation, but at the end, they were laughing. So maybe that was the start of the dialogue between Sasha and his people with the Sacramento Kings and how perhaps he wasn't pleased with his role with the team. You know, honestly, I thought he was fine, but I think just from learning of all of his accomplishments in Europe, then here we come to the Kings. He only averages 11 minutes. He was about the ninth or 10th man in the rotation, shooting 37%, which actually isn't bad. But because he came in advertised as the sniper, the sharpshooter, and only averaging 37% on three attempts, I mean, that's good, but it's not great, and it's not what we expected from him. And I think most fans, Kings fans, expected like an Isaiah Joe type of performance where he would be shooting over 40%, you know, on large usage, 4.5 attempts in playing 18 minutes, roughly like that. But instead, it was nothing like that at all. So, you know, I totally get it. I get it from both sides. And I'm thinking he'll be used as trade filler this summer. Unless they buy out his contract and he goes back to Europe. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm certain it's going to be secondary or lower down the list of things to do for Monty, considering I'm sure Malik Monk is the first thing that he's going to be doing over the summer.
Yeah, I mean, if the whole thing is true about the restaurant situation, I mean, I'm sorry, you can't come in the NBA and expect, you know, to start playing over guys that have been with the team and in the rotation just automatically. Like, your spot is earned, not just given. That's why I kind of respected, you know, Dave Yeager, especially when, like, De'Aaron Fox first came in the league, guys like Marvin Bagley. Like, you got to earn your place here. And I'm perfectly fine with that because, yeah, you may be, you know, the second overall pick or whatever, but that doesn't mean crap. Like, you have to prove it. You have to show it. You have to work. So if he was upset with his playing time, you know, like, I understand, because maybe there was, like, different talks, you know, when they were getting him to come over and then it just didn't pan out that way. But unfortunately, he was injured. I mean, he got injured. You know, his ankle, and then he re-injured it, I believe, in, like, practice when he was, like, getting ready to come back. So that obviously was a setback and hurt a little more. So especially towards the end of the season when you're kind of shortening your, you know, rotations and things like that, you can't just automatically expect just to get right back in the rotation. So it is unfortunate, but like I said, it's business. This team, you know, obviously has aspirations to go somewhere. And if, you know, he's not part of that, then again, it's business, and I wish him the best of luck where he, you know, goes next.
All right, so we're going to pivot, and we are going to give credit where credit's due. So far, Naima is looking like the genius. She picked Boston in 6 or 7, I believe. What did you say?
I said Celtics in 6.
That's right. So she said Celtics in 6. It looks like it may be heading that way. You never know. Dallas may win 4 straight and make me look like a genius, or win 4 out of the next 5 and make Elizabeth look like a genius. But so far, you're in the lead as far as predictions go. The interesting stat from that series so far, and I'm sure everyone has seen this graphic that's been going around, players who've scored at least 38 points in the first two finals games with zero turnovers, it's only two people, Michael Jordan with 70 points and zero turnovers, and Drew Holiday with 38 points and zero turnovers in two games. Really impressive. And that stat matches the eye test. I don't know if they'll go this way, but he looks like the finals MVP so far, two games in.
Yeah, honestly, I'm kind of surprised with how just, I mean, game two is more competitive, but game one really wasn't that competitive at all. I mean, Boston was just hitting, like, they hit a ton of open threes to start the game. Kristaps Porzingis came in and just, like, freaking torched. So that was, like, obviously crazy. But game two, I just, like, Luka was really the only one that was, like, doing anything on that team. I think I'm, like, really surprised that Kyrie hasn't shown up at all in these, like, finals, just because of how good, like, Kyrie's been all season long and just how good, like, we know he can be. And he's played in an NBA finals before. Like, he knows the moments. Like, he's shown up. He's obviously hit one of the biggest shots in NBA history, you know, when he was with the Cavaliers. So I'm just, like, really surprised that it's not more of, like, maybe a 1-1 series. I'm really surprised it's a 2-0 series in Boston's favor. But credit where credit's due, Boston's been absolutely killing it. And, like, no one guy really on their team is just, like, you know, blowing it away. Like, everyone is contributing. Everyone is doing their job. Drew Holiday, you know, is providing exactly what they wanted him to provide when they brought him over, you know, in that weird, like, trade with, you know, I think Portland is where he went, like, after the Damian Lillard trade. And then they snatched him right from Portland after that, which, thank God, because it would suck to see Drew Holiday wasting away on the Portland Trailblazers. Like, let's be real, because he deserves to be on a team like the Celtics, providing what he provides to help potentially win, you know, a championship. So, yeah, it's been interesting. But I really like what the Celtics are doing. Everyone's getting involved. You know, like I said, not one guy is, you know, kind of taking it away. Just everyone is, you know, basically doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's going to be really interesting now with this Kristaps Porzingis injury. Like, is he done for the season? I think we'll know probably kind of tomorrow. He's questionable going into the game. So if he doesn't play, I think they're going to probably shut him down for the rest of the season. So that might be in favor, you know, of Dallas. Like, who knows? But Dallas needs to play better. I mean, Luka's been doing all he can do. And then now this new injury with his back, you know, kind of popped up in game two. But yeah, he needs help. Like, Kyrie needs to step it up. His role players need to absolutely step it up. You know, like, everyone, I think I saw a stat today, like, they've only hit 14 threes so far in this series, and Luka's hit, I think, 8 of them. That's crazy to think that he's basically accounted for more than half of their threes. So yeah, if they want to make a comeback in this series, and it's absolutely possible. The Bucks just did it not too long ago, against the Phoenix Suns. So if they want to do it, everyone else needs to step up. They can't just rely on Luka to do what he's been doing, because he is absolutely gassed. Like, I can tell just with what he's doing and how, like, he's been towards the end of the game, because he actually has to play defense. Like, let's be real. Like, if he doesn't play defense, they're screwed. So he's got to work out there, and Boston's doing a good job in making him work. So yeah, it's been a very interesting series, but I'm happy that Boston's winning so far, because I would really like Boston to win, because I just hate Dallas. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's not over yet. They're still only down 2-0. This can change in a heartbeat, but yeah, it's not looking good for them so far.
So moving forward. Oh, and by the way, back to the Porzingis injury. I think he's out. He's done for the season. Left ankle issue. Anytime you're dealing with tissues and tendons, you cannot take the risk of injuring that further. So I think he's done for the year, which is unfortunate. I think we all would like to see teams battling him out fully healthy, but you know, that's part of the game. A lot of times teams win championships due to luck and good health. And so it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a but. I mean, I hate anytime an injury happens, especially when it's like in these important games. It just kind of puts a damper on the entire thing. But yeah, I agree. I mean, he's just like, he's so damn tall and so skinny. Like with that calf injury that he had, like coming in, that's what I thought he had re-injured. But apparently it's like the opposite leg from that. And then now it's like a completely different injury. But yeah, I just like for his, you know, obviously as a competitor, like I know he wants to get out there. I know he wants to play. But I just, yeah, I think if they're smart, it's just better to shut him down. That way he's ready, you know, because if there's any, you know, way that he can re-injure it, and like more significantly, and then he's misses, you know, like more to start the season next year, like that's very impactful as well. So, yeah, it's just going to be very interesting, but I agree. I think they're probably just putting him as questionable to kind of maybe like throw off Dallas a little bit, thinking like, oh, maybe he actually is going to play. And then just right before game time, they just obviously rule him out. So, yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, especially because the Celtics are up 2-0. Like, why risk it? I feel like they could still close the series out and everything. If they lose one game, so be it. They still have a chance to, like, clinch if they split it at Dallas. So, yeah, I don't think they would risk that at all.
Yeah, man. You know, you look at Boston's roster, and it's like, in its own way, it's a super team. I mean, just having Drew Holiday, you'd be considered a big three with him, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum. But then you add Derek White, who's taking his play up a notch too. They're so strong and so deep. So, you know, it'll be a minor miracle if Dallas can pull this off. I do hope they at least get one game while they're at home tomorrow night. So we'll see about that. Moving on, Dan Hurley.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Declines $70 million to coach the Lakers. The contract offered was 6 years, $70 million, which amounts to about 11 and change per year. I'm happy about it. What about you all?
Yeah, that was a weird, like, because it kind of just, like, came, obviously, like, the talk was JJ Redick was, like, the front runner, you know, that was being reported, and like this whole like Shams and Woj like beef, whatever it is. I don't think it's really even beef, but like whatever's happening there. And then all of a sudden, like Dan Hurley gets thrown in the mix, and I'm like, I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. But I was like, wow, the Lakers actually might make a smart move, because like if you can get one of the best college coaches to come out of college to coach your team, it's going to be Dan Hurley. And I thought that would have been super smart by the Lakers. So I was like, okay, like that's a little worrisome. It's not, you know, they're kind of heading in the right direction if that's the case. So then, you know, with the reports, him like meeting with, you know, the Lakers like front office, and that whole situation. And then obviously he like took the weekend to think about it. And then just like all the reporting that was happening on Monday was like so weird that like, you know, the practice was like getting moved, and then like cops were everywhere on campus, and like just it was like such a circus that I'm like, okay, is he like staying? Is he going? Like no one knows. And then the news broke that he was staying. And I'm happy, like obviously I'm happy, because again, I thought it would have been a really smart move by the Lakers to do that. But I just think for him, it's smarter to stay in college because he's trying to chase, you know, history at the college level. He basically is going to get paid the same by UConn as he was going to get paid by the Lakers, which is also weird because there was reports of him getting like an 8-year, $100 million contract, which would have been like insane, because that would have made him like almost like the highest paid coach in the NBA. And he hadn't even coached a minute. So yeah, just like the numbers that were being thrown out there, all for it to be basically like not even that great of an offer, was just like really weird to me. So like the whole media circus was super weird surrounding it. But I actually like was like, yeah, I think he's gonna stay put. I don't think he's coming, because I don't think it would have been like a drawn out process like it was if he really was gonna do it. And I think he has, you know, it good with UConn, obviously. And then like to take the Lakers job, like, I'm sorry, that's a lot of pressure, because not only do you have like LeBron, who's obviously aging, you know, who knows how much longer he's going to be playing. You have Anthony Davis. So like their clock is kind of ticking on what they need to do and like how fast they need to do it. So yeah, I'm happy that he's staying and the Lakers just continue to kind of look like a circus right now, because now it's like being reported that like he wasn't even like their number one option. And I'm like, what? I'm like, none of this makes sense. Like, I'm confused. But if the Lakers look like a shit show, I'm happy, because it's always fuck the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I loosely follow the UConn team because I follow a lot of people who are UConn fans on my Twitter. So I see a lot of things on my timeline. But I kind of felt like he wasn't going to leave UConn, especially after going back to back. I didn't think he was going to leave, because he's got even a better recruiting class coming in next year. So his team is actually just reloading from what they had last year to this year. So I didn't really see it happening. I mean, the Lakers offered him a lot of money, and I do also think that he used this as a bargaining way of trying to get money from UConn, because his contract was everyone was expecting him to get an extension. So this might have been like a play on, you know, like the Lakers are gonna offer me this money, what are y'all gonna offer me? And of course the university isn't gonna match what the Lakers can, but maybe some incentives that go along with it. So I'm not really surprised with him not signing as the head coach of the Lakers. Maybe somewhere down the line, if he wins another championship and it's just like, hey, won 3 in a row, or you know, won a couple more. So yeah, I'm not really surprised from the reporting.
No, I'm glad he's staying. I mean, mm-hmm. Anytime you have a chance to make history and to just maybe three-peat, maybe become this mm-hmm. generation's John Wooden and just run the table every time March Madness comes around, I think that's incredible. They play beautiful basketball. I love watching his teams play. It's not even fair in a way. Yeah, maybe he should have signed with the Lakers, so his team maybe doesn't beat my UCLA Bruins down the road next season. Not that they'll get that far, but hey, I could dream. But yeah, so good for him for staying and making the right decision. And we all know, and there are reports out, and I think we've all known this, that ownership, Lakers ownership and their front office aren't in alignment. And honestly, I don't think LeBron's in alignment with their coaches. I just feel like there's a very short leash. We talked about it a few episodes, how LeBron is a coach killer. So, you know, what can we say? I think he made the right decision. It'll be interesting to see who the Lakers choose as their head coach or who decides to take that job, knowing all the dysfunction, knowing the pressure, knowing what they're walking into. Yeah, it'll be really interesting. It's just funny how, like, there's no rhyme or reason as far as their coaching search is concerned. Random names are being thrown around. Which brings us to our WNBA Week 4 recap. First thing I want to talk about is Connecticut's first loss.
Yeah. I wasn't really surprised. I mean, New York is a fantastic team. I'm pretty sure their offense is right now number one in the league and everything. So, and then Connecticut's defense is number one in the league. So it was just, it was going to be like a battle, and it was, and it was a really fun game. And in the end, it's just the stars just showed out in the end. JJ played a fantastic game. Sabrina Ionescu had a great game as well. Stewie had a good game as well. It's just, there's just so many weapons on the New York Liberty team. Like, you think you can take a break. No, you, Sabrina hits a three. Oh, you think Stewie's struggling. Oh, here's JJ on the other side, you know, blocking shots, hitting shots. So I always have this question with Connecticut, and it's like, who is that player that's going to step up in clutch time? Every time they're in clutch time against a really good team like New York, they seem to crumble, and we kind of saw it because they did. They were up like 7 at one point or 6 in that fourth quarter, and New York ended up coming back and winning it. So yeah, it's just their players just needing to step up and, you know, hit shots. And unfortunately for the Connecticut Sun and their fans, like, it was a loss in the end because the lack of scoring. And Sabrina Ionescu had such a good game, especially in that fourth quarter. I think she assisted on like every single shot, or she made a shot in that fourth quarter. ESPN had like some stats out, and it was just, I'm like, wow, good for Sabrina Ionescu. She's been like quietly flying under the radar with how well she has been playing this season. So yeah.
No, that was a great finish. I watched that game, and yep. You know, super exciting. And then I was just thinking about what you were saying about the quality of their opponents so far this season. So mm-hmm. We'll see if they could beat, you know, a quad one team, you know, like they would say in college basketball.
Yeah.
And we'll see further down the line. Mm-hmm. I did want to ask, and Liz, did you want to chime in on anything as far as Connecticut's first loss?
Yeah, I watched that game too. Yeah, I think, like, New York has kind of, you know, they've kind of been like bringing up like how they have like been like super tight knit this season. I think they like reported that they kind of started like a book club like within their team. So they're kind of just like getting like super, super close. And obviously, like, you know, the talent that they have, I just feel like, you know, another year that they've kind of been able to grow like their core together has definitely helped. And it's showing like on the court. So yeah, I think Connecticut like was due for, you know, a loss, at some point in the season, and, you know, it kind of made sense that New York was able to do it. Cause then they played the Fever in that game. Just, they absolutely destroyed Indiana. Like, that wasn't even close. So, but yeah, Connecticut's really good, but New York obviously, has been playing really, really well too. So yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised without that outcome.
So, Naima, like, who do you think should be their closer? Would it be Dawana Bonner?
I think so. I think it should be Dawana Bonner. I mean, I don't want to bring age into it, but, I mean, she is getting up there in age and everything. And, you know, you're not the player that you once were. Once you get older. But yeah, I do think it's Dewana Bond or maybe a Breonna Jones as well. She's been playing extremely well, but she's coming off of injury. So, you know, they're limiting her minutes and staggering her minutes. But I do think it has to be Dewana Bond or Alyssa Thomas. At least Alyssa Thomas needs to be like involved in those plays that when they need a bucket, like setting screens, you know, directing traffic, because she's like a great point forward in our league, in my opinion, the best right now. So, yeah, definitely. I think it has to be Dewana Bonner.
Yeah, because I saw Carrington, DeJounte Carrington, get the ball, actually take the last shot, I want to say. And I just didn't think result was going to be what they wanted. I think she's a great role player. I am enthralled by her defense. I really like her defense a lot. But, that wasn't the right call, I don't think.
Yeah. I agree. Absolutely. It's got to be Dewana. It's got to be someone, you know, who can also shoot well, too. Like Harris, like role players step up in big times as well. But I think in moments like that, when it's Sabrina Ionescu and Jonquel Jones and Stewart hitting shots, it's like you need someone to match that superstar level. And it just got to be Dewana Bonner and AT, and they got to take the reins for it. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, hopefully this will be a learning experience from them and they'll bounce back and maybe get their win back later on down the line.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about MVP candidates for the WNBA. However, I do want to ask this question. Did Asia Wilson get robbed last year of the MVP?
Oh, God, this question.
is this an old controversial question?
It's kind of a recycled kind of topic, but I don't think she got robbed. I think people saw like Breonna Stewart, she played so well in the first half, like she was running away with it, and then she kind of slowed down in the second half, and then that's when Asia stepped it up and she started playing better. And in my opinion, if anyone was robbed, and as a UConn fan, as a person who has been a UConn fan for a decade plus, I think Alyssa Thomas should have won the MVP, if I'm being honest. Like, she lost by like 7 points, because the standings were Breonna Stewart, Alyssa Thomas, and then Asia Wilson. So, and Alyssa Thomas literally lost by like one first place vote, which is equal to like 5 or 7 points, something like that. So, in my opinion, Alyssa Thomas carried that Connecticut team without Breonna Jones, because she literally went out with an injury for the rest of the season in the middle of last season, and she like carried that team. So if anyone was robbed, it was Alyssa Thomas, in my opinion. But I'm not gonna get into who deserved it and who didn't. Like, it is what it is. I think Stewie showed why she won that MVP. So clearly right now, but the discussion is this year. Yeah, Asia Wilson is definitely right now at the top, and it's a bit of a gap to the second person who's in that MVP discussion. So, yeah.
So I think in this current era, though, it's almost like the NBA, where you can make an argument for Giannis, Jokic, Embiid.
Exactly.
They're all great. So is it kind of like that?
Yes, I do agree. I do think it's like that. Like right now, it seems to always be between Asia Wilson and Breonna Stewart. But I feel like a newcomer in Nafisa Collier, who's, you know, part of my links, like, I feel like she's making a name for herself for that, for the candidacy of MVP. But right now, like, Asia is kind of just playing out of her mind right now. So, even as a Lynx fan, even as biased as I am, like, I do understand, like, if the season were to end today, like, the MVP would be Asia Wilson. And yeah, same with Alyssa Thomas. She's up there with the, with who's in the race right now and everything. Of course, there's only like teams have only played 10 to like 13 games, so we still got like more than half the season left, so anything happened.
So as far as eye tests go, do you see Nafisa Collier just taking it up a notch? She's jumped from 29% to 40% from three. The rebounds went from 8.5 to 11.4. steals, she's third behind guards. So she's averaging 2.2, which went from 1.6 from last year. The Lynx are in third place. It's kind of bananas how much she's improved her game.
Right? Exactly. Thank you for bringing that up, Daily, because I feel like every single year Nafisa Collier improves, like there in some aspect of her game. And this case, her rebounding has been incredible. And people like don't understand how truly great her rebounding is right now, because she is averaging a double-double with points and rebounds at 6'1", and that's never been done in the history of the WNBA. So it's literally unprecedented what she's doing. And so I really feel for her, because like Asia is so dominant, and like any other year, she's probably winning that MVP. But hey, if the Lynx right now are ahead of the Aces in the standings, currently playing them right now, and Minnesota is up by 11, so, which I'm very happy about. So it's just, who knows what could happen. Sometimes voters look at it and go like, hey, the head-to-head, they have a better record, all that. It's not always about stats. I really hope like Nafisa, and I do believe she can bump it up a notch. I really do believe that. Like Nafisa Collier is like, she's just that player that just gets better and better every single game and everything. So I do hope for my biasness sake, she does get better, and she's the Lynx, you know, make her maybe run to the semifinals of the WNBA. Maybe, I mean, by the way, how they're playing right now, I wouldn't put it past them. They're out of the nine major categories, eight of them, they're in the top five. So the Lynx are playing very dominant, elite basketball right now. So I think that might, if there is a case to be made, like the fact that the Lynx are playing this well, I think there's a solid case for Nafisa Collier to, you know, be crowned MVP.
Well, I think it's crazy that she's positionally small for her.
Right?
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, most of her counterparts are 6'3" or taller, mm-hmm. and here she is at 6'1", doing everything that she does.
Exactly.
Moving forward, though, just off the top of your head, who are the WNBA's best defenders right now?
Defenders, you said?
Yeah.
At the very top, I feel like I have to give it to Ezzie Magdebor. She plays for the Seattle Storm. Man, the way she's able to switch from the top to from like the perimeter defense to in the post, like is just really impressive. As for guards, I feel like Brittany Sykes, she just came back today. The Mystics finally got their first win of the season. And yeah, Brittany Sykes is definitely up there as well. I'm kind of blanking on other names right now, but I feel like those two are the definitely for the post players. It's Ezzie for guards. It's Brittany Sykes. So Alyssa Thomas is a great defender as well. I think Asia, Stewie, yeah, they're good defenders. But I think Ezzie, if they were to crown a defensive player of the year, I think Ezzie is at the top.
Nice. All right. So
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The last but not least, and this is everywhere, but we're going to talk about it too, because we should. Caitlin Clark's not on the women's Olympic team. What's your take, y'all?
I mean, for her sake, I think it's good because she, I think, needs the rest. Like, she obviously, you know, went to the Final Four in college basketball, didn't get that much of a break before she was drafted, and then obviously training camp, and now the season has started. So for me, I think it's going to be good for her. She'll get a much needed break. And I just think it's good for her, you know, competition wise, because, you know, again, you're new in the league. Yes, she is obviously, like, it is fact, she is bringing ratings to the WNBA. She's not the only one doing so, but she is obviously contributing to that. But it's going to be good for her to kind of, you know, continue to improve and then, you know, make the Olympic team in 2028. And then I just, like, with the players that made it, I just don't see how she could, like, take a spot from any one of those, like, established WNBA players. Those players have been in the league a long time. You know, some of them have already won gold medals as well. So, yeah, I just think it's silly, like, to just put her there because of the name attached to her. I think you still have to earn it. You know, you can't just be given something, an opportunity like that right off the bat. So, yeah, I'm fine with her being left off. Like I said, I think it's only going to be good for her in the long run. And especially this season, since she has not had much rest at all. And I think you can kind of tell she does have a little bit of tired legs, especially with their brutal schedule that they've kind of had so far. It's kind of slowed down for them. But still, they had a pretty brutal schedule to start the season as well. So, yeah, I'm perfectly okay with her being left off the
And Naima, what do you think of the excuse that Jen Rosati, the Team USA selection committee chair, said, as far as saying it wasn't our job, it wasn't the job of our committee to decide how many people would watch. It was our job to create mm-hmm. the best team.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that 100%. Because we need to understand, this is the Olympics. Everyone and their mamas know about the Olympics. Everyone tunes in. Like, I wish I had it on me. It'll take a while for me to find. But the Olympic Games, even whenever Team USA is playing, they always already get more views than they usually get otherwise, because it's just the Olympics and people like to tune in, especially if they think a team is good and it's in a gold medal match. I'm pretty sure just this past year against, this past Olympics against Japan, when they were playing them, it was like a 6 million viewed event. And this was like, what, in the middle of the night, everyone like tuning in and everything. If I'm like, cause it was in Japan. So I don't really get that argument of like, oh, the views, it's going to bring the views. Like, yeah, of course, if Caitlin was playing, there was going to be more views, but it's like the Olympics. And I can guarantee you the views that we got last Olympics, it's still going to be way better than the last Olympics, just because of how much the women's basketball in general has grown. So I'm not even worried about, I don't know why people are worried. Like, who does that benefit? It benefits like NBC heads and like the people who are making capital off of these games. And like Team USA is not the WNBA, that they're not really worried about things like that. So look, Caitlin Clark, like, she will get her fair share of, you know, Olympic games and everything. I can guarantee you next Olympics, she's going to be on that roster. It's going to be here in the United States, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in LA in particular. And people need to also understand the Team USA has never just taken a player without them playing at least in like the camps. And unfortunate for Caitlin Clark, when the camps were happening, she was in the Final Four, so she wasn't able to attend. She also missed out. She rejected, actually, the offer to play for AmeriCup, which I understand, like, she was coming off a season from college. So it's just many things, and of course, I'm not privy to everything, but many things, like, factored into it. So I'm sure she's like, you know, she said she was like, you know, she's going to watch and she's not disappointed and everything because, you know, there's like the 12 best players. Like you look up and down that roster, there are Olympic gold medalists, there are WNBA champions, there are all-stars, there are first team WNBA, like, you know, all that. So this is it's actually unfortunate how we're not talking about how dominant and stacked this team USA is for the women. So.
Right. And honestly, it would probably be a distraction, wouldn't it? Because you wouldn't get them that much playing time. And we all know, yeah. And this was already mentioned in multiple articles.
Yeah.
We all know that all the Caitlin Clark fans, especially the ones that don't watch women's basketball, would cause an uproar due to her playing time because she's not going to be playing a lot.
I mean,
she was on the Olympic team.
Yeah, they wouldn't have done really anything about it other than like their Twitter fingers. But you just mentioned those Caitlin Clark fans that don't understand how good these women actually are, like those who undervalue how this league has been growing, like before Caitlin even joined, like the numbers again have been improving for like the past 5 years, of course. Caitlin, I just have to always say this, but yes, of course, Caitlin is making a difference as well. But I just don't want people to fall into this thing. It's only Caitlin is the only reason why this is all happening. And it's just like, no, please actually understand the league and understand the history of the league and these players and everything. So she'll be fine, I'm sure. There'll be other Olympics that she'll be part of and other teams that she'll be part of and FIBA championships and things like that. So she'll be okay.
And did you guys read the Christine Brennan article in USA Today? I mean,
no, I didn't.
I don't mean her at all because I just seen her timeline and I'm like, yeah, I'm not interested in what you have to say at all.
Right. I mean, but she does, you know, mention statistics to support Caitlin's case. I'm fine either way. Whatever happens, I understand. I think the distraction is actually a key in their decision. But anywho, she goes, well, how about some statistics? Clark is 13th in the WNBA in points per game. Taurasi is 15th. Clark is 4th in assists. Sabrina is 8th. Kelsey Plum is 11th. Jewel Lloyd is 14th. Clark is 2nd in three-pointers made, 2 ahead of Taurasi. I mean, she goes on and on.
Nitpicking, very much nitpicking, but it's like, because it's like, they were not only basing it on they were basing it on Caitlin's like first few weeks of the WNBA, which she's actually struggled a lot. But those numbers, I'm like, it's not like huge number differences. And also chemistry, like they've played together, Sabrina and she actually hasn't, but they've practiced together at the very least. And that's like the point I was trying to make. Like Team USA has never just picked a player out of nowhere where they haven't played previous either competitions, either camps, haven't participated in camps. Like that's never happened in the history of Team USA. So the whole nitpicking thing by her, I'm like, you can do all that. I mean, Taurasi is actually having a pretty good season. And like I mentioned earlier, like Sabrina's actually having a really, really good season. It's all about fit. And also Cheryl Reeve, who is the head coach of Team USA, like she's never coached Caitlin either, never been in any type of situations with her either. So I feel like that plays a factor as well, even though, like you said, she wasn't going to probably play many minutes anyway. But we can like have this discussion back and forth. Like, did she deserve it? Did she not? But I mean, she'll be fine.
Yeah. And that's the thing though. I think ultimately you want Caitlin Clark to achieve success by earning it and not being given it. And mm-hmm, it goes back exactly. to just the argument that we were mentioning a few episodes ago, where it's like, do we want Caitlin Clark to be in a league that treats her with kid gloves on?
Yeah,
exactly. Or do we want her against competition every night that's going at it in giving their all? You know, I don't think anybody wants to watch Caitlin Clark being treated differently from other players and getting a whistle and other players not trying just so she could do well and the league prospers. That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
And the only people that would say that are people who just don't watch
basketball. Yep, exactly.
But I think that covers everything. Thank you two for your time. Any last words?
No, not really. Go Kings.
Like, I want to watch my game.
Sorry, yeah. That is true. It's halftime right now, but yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I have to say is hopefully this NBA Finals gets like a little more juicy. I mean, it's going to be kind of a bummer if it's like a sweep or gentleman sweep, as they call it. But yeah, I mean, it's like I said, as long as Boston wins, I'll be freaking happy, because one, I hate Dallas, and two, that means that'll break the tiebreaker between the Lakers and the Celtics. As always, fuck the Lakers. But yeah, light the beam.
Well, I just have to say, if Boston does win, it further supports my case that if you have a UCLA player on your team, you are guaranteed success. So Drew Holiday, UCLA legend, if he ends up getting a ring, I'll be happy. And plus, he's just a great person all around. Not to mention former King Nemias Keita, even though he's not playing in this finals. He's on the bench. He'll get a ring as well. So,
well, don't forget, Drew Holiday already has a ring, though. So,
nothing wrong with UCLA Bruins getting multiple rings, Liz.
No.
That's the bottom line. That's all I got to say. Also, for the draft junkies out there, I am speaking with somebody from a very prominent draft outfit online, and most of you who are draft junkies will know. I don't want to say names. I don't want to get too excited, because you never know. Some people may cancel plans. We agreed on Thursday, so we'll be talking about prospects for the Kings, which is what we do here on this podcast during draft season. I'm excited for it. Thank you, everybody, for making us a part of your day. Feel free to subscribe. And it helps the algorithm, as you know. Take care, y'all. We're out of here. Good day, good night, and light the beam.
Go Kings. Go Lynx. Watch the WNBA, guys.
Good night, y'all.
Night.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.